I think the ladies did a wonderful job speaking on some of that as well some time back. But we look at the things of the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. We look out and we look about to people, and we know that we are weak, and we go through things that wears us down. But we know that if I can just get a hold of the joy of the Lord and allow the joy of the Lord to bubble up in me, and it's going to probably come up in situations when you should be kind of down, right? Like, well, how can I have this joy when I'm going through this? How can I have this joy when this is taking place? If it's not happening to me personally, it's happening to a loved one or someone that I know. But it's through those times, I believe, that we really begin to see the importance of the joy, and the merry heart does like a medicine to us. I know, I think generally everybody in here is probably on some kind of medication, you know, for something, you know. Even if it's a vitamin, that's, believe it or not, that's a medication, you know. We need more vitamins, we need more, you know, whatever, vitality. But God is so good. And in his word, he helps us reach some of these things. And so today I want to let you know that joy will come. Joy will come. If you're going through a situation at this point, believe me, joy will come. Put your faith and trust in him. Honor him. Pray to him. Set before him, whatever the case might be, but knowing that he's there with you. And it's a very known verse, and we're going to dip into Psalms. And so as I was kind of coming off of the last few weeks of pressing into God, and then I left last week with the tribulations that we will go through, and when we go through tribulations, and it's important that we are pressing in. If you're pressing into God and the things that he has for you and wanting to get closer to him and allowing him to press into you as well, all these tribulations and trials that he tells us we're going to go through, we will go through them, but we will come through them and come out of them. Amen? And so when we go through these things, it's usually some dark times. And I always find this so reassuring in his word in Psalms 30. 30 in the latter part of verse 5, where it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." I'm going to let you to know that every one of us, there will be a morning in that situation for you. Amen? There is another side of that. You will not stay in darkness forever. Darkness will not surround you permanently. Do you believe that? And as we look at God's word, he's kind of given us a snapshot of that, because we know in the times of days that darkness comes and then the sunrise, and then darkness comes and then the sunrise. And he's trying to help us in this understanding that weeping may endure for a night. But joy, and in some translations you might find this, where it says a shout of joy. A shout of joy comes in the morning. I don't know, but there's been a few times that I've been able to have a window open at night when the smoke from Canada's not been around, which is, it's back with us, guys. But I've had my window open in the mornings to where at about 4:30 or so, 4:45, if not 4:15, if I stir a little bit, I'm listening, and I'm hearing the birds tweeting out there, and it's still dark. Do you think the birds know something that we don't? The birds know that the dawn is coming, amen. The only way that we know it is by looking at the clock, you know. I roll over and I go, why am I stirring at this time? And it's 4:30 in the morning. What are you birds doing out there, you know? But I lay there long enough and I just listen to them. And it's really beautiful. And it's, to me, it tells me that the birds are getting ready for the next day. They're getting ready for their next challenge, you know. The early bird gets what? The worm, of course. But as we look at these things and look at the nature around us and we see this, that we can see that the weeping, the problems, the situations that we have in the scope of things, we believe and trust God that is like that of a night. But there will be a dawn. There will be a new day. And when that happens, and when that that morning comes, there's a joy that will come forth. Now, In the beginning of Psalms 30, it says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Amen. How many here we need to be lifted up by the Lord? Amen. And he will do that. And have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, verse 2, my God, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you. And what did you do? You healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at his remembrance of his holy name. Oh, Father, or his holiness. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for life. His favor is for life. I'm glad that his anger is only for what? A moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Easy Read says this, the night may be filled with tears, but in the morning we can sing for joy. We come out of situations in our lives, and if we can come out singing the praises of God, and I want to get into some of this, the joy in praising, and where that leads us and takes us into the levels of God. Amen. So we look at this as joy comes in the morning, a shout of rejoicing, shouting loud, cheering in triumph. We're singing. It talks about, describes a kind of a joyful shouting at the time of a great victory. So as we look at this, we have got to know that we have the victory. Amen. And we know that as we go through situations in life, as we've shared last week, and the trials and tribulations and things, that I tell you what, when we're going through it, it just does not, maybe it's just me, but it doesn't seem like I got victory when I'm going through a challenging time. But what do I have to do? I have to tell myself that I've got victory, amen? And that when I tell myself I've got victory, I've got to go to that next level, and I got to begin to praise my God and begin to sing unto him, because it talks about cheering and triumph, singing, hallelujah. So what we kind of do on Sunday mornings, we want to praise and worship and try to sing to the Lord, amen. Rejoice before him to try to shake off some of the things of even this past week that many of us have had to deal with or go through, so that when we come into a time of a setting such as a Sunday morning corporate time, that just a little bit of God's word can fill us and bring us to the point of victory, amen. To have victory over that situation. So as we look at this, we look at, oh my goodness, where do we want to go? In our days upon this earth, we will experience shortfalls, many distressful times, great times of sorrows. And I don't think I need to continue on that. We already know that, great times of sorrows in this times of life. Amen? Many times we will weep. But in God's word, he shares his love for us and how he will care for us through no matter what. Believe it or not, there is an end in sight. And it's not to make light of anybody's sufferings and the pain and the things they go through. But we just don't want to stay there. We don't want to camp there. We don't want to pitch our tent and stay in that area of pain and sorrow and suffering and misery and just, you know, say like, I guess this is what life is all about. You know, I think many times you talk to people out in the world and they'll say things like that. This whole life is nothing but pain and hurts and sorrows. That's what this whole life is about. And we find that they lose any type of hope or direction in life, that thinking that this life can be any better than what it is. But I, as a child of God, I've said this many times before, I believe I can live an abundant life here upon this earth. How about you? But it's, what do I think? What do I put my thoughts on? Do I put my thoughts on the problem, or do I put my thoughts on the problem solver? And God is that problem solver. Do I put my thoughts on my weaknesses and my sicknesses and my infirmities, or do I put my thoughts on the God that is my healer and my physician? So we have a thought process that we can think this thing through and try to decide, where do I want to stay? And I don't know. I've been down, and I don't like staying down. How about you? And there's times that, in myself personally, I've got to pick myself up by what we would say the bootstraps and take some time before God and have a, what we would say, maybe a come to Jesus meeting. Amen. Anybody had a come to Jesus meeting even after being saved? To where we come to that point of time to where we've got to sit before God again. And I've got to get some clarity, God. I got to get some thoughts here, and I got to know as best as you want to tell me what's going on and how and where and what can I do? What can I do to manage it? What are you going to do? And most of the times he tells me, what? Cast your cares upon him. He's just wanting us to cast our care upon him, and he's wanting us to, what? Sing joy and praises to him. It's hard to do in a tough situation. I've had trials and those types of things like that I've had to make a decision to praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him all day long. Amen? When you hear the news, you got to praise him. We hear the news. We got to praise him. The news on at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever the time is, all the things that are going on, we still have to praise him and know that he is a good God. Amen? So we have this to know this, that no matter what, believe it or not, there is an end in sight. But what I'm wanting to give us today is hope that will carry us through. Hope, 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 hope. Hope is this. That's what God's word is full of. Amen. Is hope. Throughout his word, he's giving us hope. But he's asking us to grasp a hold of it, to trust it, to have our faith in his word. Because we know he is not a liar. Now, there's a couple of areas when we look at that word of hope. I want to go here to, in the Old Testament, hope is this. Hope is hope, expectations, something yearned for and anticipated eagerly. I think when we speak to our God, we have to anticipate. And he wants us as children. Have you ever noticed children when they're anticipating mom or dad or grandma or grandpa bringing over maybe a present or a prize for them? They're anticipating with what? Great expectations of what's it going to be? And they can't wait for that door to open and someone to come in. And what is it? You know, that anticipation. So it's a yearning for an anticipated eagerly something for which one is waiting for. The hope that we're going to wait. We hope that God is going to take care of this. But it's a positiveness. Now, as I jump into hope in the New Testament, hope takes this flavor. Hope is not in the sense of an optimistic outlook or a wishful thinking. Oh, I wish this is going to work. I hope, you know, I hope. Many people will say when they're hoping, they're just saying, I'm wishing. Wishing this away. Wishing that this is going to take place. But it's not an optimistic outlook or a wishful thinking without any foundation. What is our foundation? The Word of God. Our foundation is that of Jesus Christ. You know, the hope that he puts in us. And it's not, well, as we have talked a few times with people, even the last few weeks and even in Sunday school, about people in our churches sometimes when we talk to them about the things of God and, you know, is God going to help you in this situation? Well, I hope so. Oh, well, when you die, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I hope so. It's like, no, you're hoping in a way of maybe wishful thinking. I don't know. Maybe you're hoping with great anticipation. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is, the expectancy. But we want to make sure where our hope is lying in and that it is looking at something that is not just wishful thinking without any foundation, but it's in the sense of a confident expectation based on solid certainty. Our hope, the biblical hope that we talk about, rests on God's promises. And it goes into particularly on his return. We have begun to look at that in our Thursdays. Of the prophecy and unveiling prophecy, and it's going to start from the very beginning and work our way through. It's like five lessons. It's going to take some time, but it's going to give us some thought processes in the prophetic and unveiling prophecies and that. But like John was sharing, you know, we look at the New and the Old Testament, and if we take it in our book, it's like whatever. It's like this thick. And then we get into Revelation, so I'm going to lose my place here, and we get to Revelations, and it's only like this. And so we begin to think and anticipate that there is going to be and there will be the return of his return as it shares with us shares about it in the new and the old, and it tells us in the revelations about what's going to take place with the great return of Christ. So we know that's going to happen. We just don't know when. But we've got to be prepared, and we've got to live this life as if tomorrow could be. Or it could be this afternoon. You just never know, do we? But we want to live our lives strong in that of Christ to go through this life, because if he doesn't come back by 5 o'clock today, I've got tonight to go through, and tomorrow's coming, and I've got to get ready for whatever's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm going to be able to take on tomorrow, because if I'm going through a situation, I've got to understand that God's word tells me that if I am struggling, I may be weeping for a while, but I'm going to have joy. Joy comes in the morning. He is giving us hope. Hope to hang on to. And that's what we want to give to people outside the church. And that's what we want to give to people what? Inside the church, is to have that hope and understanding that joy comes in the morning. As I go over to Psalm 63:3, we're going into this joy has come into us. When it says that, let's see here, his favor is for life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I jump over, it gives me a footnote, talks about a joyful shout, but in Psalm 63:3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, let's start at the beginning of Psalm 63. Oh God, you are what? My God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. In verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You know, it's looking at marrow and fatness, with fatness and abundance, you know, your soul and the fatness. Satisfaction, really, satisfied. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watch. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. We sang about under his shadow of the wings. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So, we're not going to focus on the ones that are lying that shall be stopped. We're going to focus on what? That my mouth shall praise you. There's a song that would be, I think it was like a chorus. And it went like, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you. I will lift up my hands unto your name. And we need to do that. You know, you can do that at home. You can do that wherever you're at. You can just praise him and begin to lift up your hands in that situation. Outside, cutting the grass, on the lawnmower, not on the lawnmower unless you've got a riding mower. But if you're on the riding lawnmower, you can raise your hands, whatever the case is. But just take time to praise him. So what is this? This praise is like we would call the word shavak or shavak. To commend, praise, to adore, to glory in something, to still, to quiet. See, we understand that. See, we think of praise as boisterous. Yay, joy, shout of joy, hallelujah, glory to God. But there's also a flip side to praise in this word. It also means to glory in something, but it's also to still, to quiet, or pacify someone. We can praise someone. Have you ever, in your times of praising, and what may have sent you to praising is a situation that you need God's help, so you just begin to sing praises, hallelujah. And by the time you sing one or two or three praises, all of a sudden, what happens in your soul? you might begin to sense a stillness and a calmness and a quietness. So this word is like twofold. It is shouting, but it also brings stillness and quietness. In something to still, quiet, or pacify someone, this word goes in two directions, praising and calming. Praising and calming. So that's why it is important to praise God. A lot of times I'm thinking of praise of just shouting and glory, hallelujah! But then there's a stillness and a quietness that comes in. And I think it's during, well, it's I can't say that. It happens on both sides of the coin. He is touching you and moving things and changing things in you with your praise and shout. He's addressing things in you. But he's also, when we come to that time of stillness before him, you know, he talks about become still before him, that, you know, he is still working and doing things within us. Now, sometimes people, they need a lot of activity to keep themselves going, because once it gets really quiet and still, they begin to get fidgety. Sometimes that's the best time to be before the Lord, is to just be still. Hallelujah. So we find that this word has two directions, praising and calming. We find that in the Old Testament, eight of these times, it's in 11 times it's occurred in the Old Testament, eight of these has to do with speaking words of praise. The other three references speak either about calming the tumultuous sea. Now, if we go to Psalm 65:7, just turn a page over if you got it there, talks about calming, okay? So we're looking at this where it calms the sea. In Psalm 65:7, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, you that still, hallelujah. If I look at that word still, it has a little asterisk there. And so I look at my little note here, and guess what it does? It kicks me back to Psalm 63:3. You who still the noise of the, you who praise, it talks about praise. Praise has two functions, either voicefully and shouting or a calmingness. Amen. We've been through times of praise and worship where there is just a fervency and an excitement and the praise and things are building. And then all of a sudden, as we come out of that praise and that time, we come into just a time of peace and calmness and quietness. And it, you know, I've been at times where it's been going pretty strong at churches or a service or whatever, maybe many years back here when we had different things taking place. And then you come out of that, and all of a sudden it just comes down. And it's like, wow, what happened? But you don't even notice it because it just stops, but everything gets calm. And then God is still doing his work within the people. And it's not to build people up to a fervent type thing to try to get them manipulated. It's to get them to shout unto the God, hallelujah, glory to God. We're going to praise you, Father. But we're going to find a time when we do that. Remember, this joy, this praise, we joyfully come into these times, that when we come out of that, you're going to find a calming time as well, a still time to be before him. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of times when we're still before the Lord, that's when he is really beginning to download stuff, or touching our heart, or touching our spirit. People will come up out of something like that and they'll go, wow, the Lord has really spoke to me. So as we look at this, we looked at that where it calms the sea. Or how about hushing up things within one's heart? Proverbs 29:11. In Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all of his feelings. A fool vents all of his feelings or his spirit, but a wise man holds them back. Holds them back. So if I'm looking at that, that word holds them back takes me back to the description and the definition of that word praise back in Psalms 63:3. So here we are, holding back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I think one other area here we would look at, if we want to, I'm not sure. There appears to be a connection between praising with words and soothing with words, as our aggrieved individuals offered words of honor can testify. Okay. Talks about you shall praise with joyful lips. Looking at the fruit of, oh God, you are my God. And that's where we begin to look at this, to where we say, oh, because your love and kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul be satisfied with you. Things of that nature. So as we go through that, oh God, you are my God, the affirmed relationship. Early it says that I will seek you. That's a priority. And I think that's what God has to have, or we need to have with that of God, is where are your priorities with him? You know, our priorities have to be that we will seek him. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts. My flesh longs for you. That's a deep intensity. This is coming out of over here with Psalms 63 going from 1 through 5. Where it says early, let's go back up to 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. So that's where we're reading and coming out of, that it says that my flesh longs for you. That's within deep intensity. I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. It desires that for what? In your sanctuary, it's talking about corporate power. And I think that's where we have to have an understanding, too, of the importance of the church, the importance of corporate body, to body ministry, to corporate body, as we come together and we sing praises. You know, we can come down here and one person can sing and shout a praise to that of God, which is good, but then you put 10, 15, 20, or whatever the case might be, into that realm of shouting praise and glory. Guess what? You raise the roof off. Hallelujah. But that's that importance of corporate prayer, corporate ministry, corporate involvement. And then it talks about, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. That's talking with appropriate, with gratitude. We are so thankful, Lord. My lips shall praise you. My soul is, Father, hallelujah, just have everything of me. And that's where we come into this time with God. Let's see where I'm at here. I've lost my... praising him. But to think back, that praising has two options. Some of it is that of shouting and joyfully and being boisterous, and the other times it's a calming and just a stillness before that of God. So as I get back and I look at these things with God, and we see these things of weeping may endure for a night, but joy, a shout of joy comes in the morning. We have to have an understanding that there is a conclusion. There is another. There is another situation that's going to take place. If life gives me, you know, a hard time and things are happening, I've also got to realize and understand that God has something else, and that God will show up, and that God will bring me through, and that God will put a spring in my step, whatever the case might be. He will give me the strength. He will give me the joy. He will give me the love. He will give me the patience, whatever it might be. If we willingly and go to him, then we look at this as we are not going to stay in this level of hardship and heartache and problems. I am going to come through this with my God. Amen? And my God is going to get me through this, and I don't want to stay there any longer than I have to. So I want to learn the things of God as soon as I can and get a hold of him, or allow him to get a hold of me as soon as he can, or as fast as he wants to get a hold of me. I think sometimes he's wanting to bring us through this, like, okay, let's get through this. But sometimes we kind of drag our feet. I don't know what the reason is. We just drag our feet. We're just one of those things. Sometimes it takes, you know, like sometimes dealing with your kids. You know, you can go through this and take care of it really quick, or it can take, you know, 2 hours to do it, or it can take you 10 minutes to do it. You know, just tell your kids to go up and clean their room. Back when we had kids, just go up and clean your room. You know, 2 hours later, they're still saying, oh, I don't know if I want to clean. If you would have gone up and cleaned your room, it would have taken 20 minutes. It would have been done. But our kids drag their feet. We are big kids. I'm looking out at a bunch of big kids, me included. And I think of many times that if we would just look at sometimes how our kids reacted to us as parents, and if we would take that thought process and put myself as a kid, child before God, I'm doing the same thing with God. The Lord says, do this. But Tim drags his feet a little longer than he should. And finally, we get to what we need to do, and it's done. It's like, wow, that was great. And I'm sure my Heavenly Father would say, Tim, if you would have done that 3 days earlier, it would have been done, and we could have gone on to more that I have for you. But we as big kids drag our feet with God. And a lot of it is just stuff that's around us. It's that times at night, you know. I tell you, at night is when a lot of things come in on you. You're laying at home, in your bed, it's dark, whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden your mind just begins to go. Thinking about things in the past, things that have happened 30, 40, 50, it depends on how old we are, where we're at in times. But then you begin to think like, well, okay, that's something I can't change now, we're here and now. But, you know, it's just another day, another year, another this, another that. And I think if we look at things of God and how we go through situations and problems, we all have problems. We all have health situations. We all have times that we go to the doctor. We have times that people call and having a situation. And we just wonder, you know, how much more can they take? How much more can I take? You know, all of these things. But it's understanding that if I begin to, and if we begin to personally take these things on, we will not have our joy. We will not have joy in the morning. We will continue to be down and down and down. And that's where we have to joyfully, we bring it before Him and we praise Him and we worship Him. And then we've got to help those that are going through those times as well to be with them and stand with them, to try to encourage as best we can. All of these things that we as a body are to do. But it's the thing that the only one that can really do it is that individual. And the one that has the joy to give us is who? God. It's His joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Remember that song, that phrase, that chorus? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away. Now the world will try to take away the joy. The world will try to take away your peace. The world will try to tell you all kinds of negativity. But the peace that I've got, the world didn't give it to me. The joy that I got, the world didn't give it to me. The strength that I got, the world didn't give it to me. The cross before me, the world behind me. These are these things that we have to continually bring up into our spirit, bring up in our thoughts, and sometimes vocalize that, praise, worship, whatever the case might be. And it's amazing how sometimes old choruses that used to be sung back in the 70s or 60s or whatever the case might be, how some of those will come to my thoughts during the daytime and going through something. And it's just one of those powerful things. It's almost like, you know, you remember God's word and scriptures to get you through. And you sometimes He brings back choruses that were powerful to get those things to you. Very simple. But if, when you begin to say that and you begin to think this, that the joy that I have got, I got from the Lord. Amen? And as much as this world wants to steal it and take it from me, I am not going to give it up. I will fight for that joy that I have. Why? How? Where? How am I going to do that? Why? How? I'm going to press in to the things of God that God has done for me, that God has for me in His Word. I can press in, that I can go through these things and allow that to even envelop in my life so that as I'm pressing in, I'm getting that additional strength, I'm getting that additional courage, His strength, His whatever in me so that we can battle these things and come out these things and live a much better life. Amen? Don't you want a better life here upon this earth? Amen. I've tried living in the world and how that was, and that's yuck, you know? There's no fun there after a while. It gets old. It's dangerous. It'll take years off of you, you know? And we know that. Yeah, we get into anxieties and all that type of stressful things. But it's those things that we take place that we've got to receive from God, that God has given to us, and that we walk it out. Amen? I'm going to share this, that weeping that you've got, whatever that is, may endure for the night, but the next morning there's joy coming. When that sun comes up, you know, when we had this smoke from the Canada for so long, I did not realize how much I missed the sunrise. How much I missed the blue sky. Now, some of the sunsets were pretty nice, nice and big red, but that's because it's going through smoke. But it's so, to see the sun coming up, and it's just the whole lightness of the day, and it's the dawning of a new day. You look at it, it's like, what is coming up next, Lord? What's going to take place? And so when we begin to see these things and we begin to miss some of the most simplest things in this life, like sunrises were gone. Blue skies have been gone. It was so tired of just every time you look out there, it's just grungy looking. Yeah. That's how we live our lives a lot of times, is that we allow the smoke, the fog, the pollution of this world to get into our lives, our spiritual lives, to where we don't see the light of Christ. And we just keep walking in this fog. Have you ever noticed somebody walking in the fog? My goodness, I've been there. It's not pleasant. But we've got to have an understanding. We've got to pick ourselves up, and we've got to sit there and say that this joy is going to come in the morning. There's going to be a new time tomorrow. Tomorrow opens up another opportunity for God to shower me with his blessings, to shower me with his thoughts, his word, whatever the case might be. Amen? Amen. So if nothing else today, have joy. Wake up tomorrow with what? Joy. And I'm going to try to not even go to bed with weeping. I want to get to that point where I go to bed with joy. I wake up with joy. Hallelujah. I want to be living a victorious life. And then when something does come up, I'm just going to say, I'm going to hand it over to you, God, because I want to spend my time worshiping and praising you. Praising him by either shouting, or I want to praise you by being still before you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for how your word is so true and real for us of this hour. That, Lord, through your word, we can gain so much. So many times, Lord, we walk through this life limiting ourselves because we limit your word in us. That we don't take time to sit before you. That we don't take the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to just say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. It's been a while. I'm sorry, but I want to come now, and I just want to spend some time with you, Father. And Lord, through all of this, we thank you for the joy. We thank you, Father God, for how you protect us. And that these things and these struggles that we go through, they're temporary. You will, and we will, with your help, come out of them. And not only just come out of them, Lord, but we will come out victorious. And we will become stronger, a stronger people for you, Lord God. And we thank you now. Touch each heart here now, Lord, I pray. Speak into their spirit, Father. The things that they're asking you about, minister your word into it. Father, we're all looking for directions. We're all looking for honoring you in the way that you would want us to honor you, Father. We understand, Lord, that it's taking place outside the church is where we really need to be a benefit, and we really need to be able to show your love and your peace and your joy. Oh, Father, what a great time we are a part of right now. Touch these wonderful people, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.